program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, we put a great priority on the Bible here, and as we should, and there are some statistics that were actually surprising to me, but very encouraging about people's reliance on Scripture lately. Mm-hmm. And what is that?
Well, from the periodical called the Christian Post, which I hold in high regard, I think it's very credible, the Christian Post, that there's a headline, "Millions More Americans Turned to Scripture During Pandemic." Hmm. There was a study that was done, and basically it gave a lot of statistics, as you've just indicated. Basically, over an estimated 10 million more Americans turned to the Bible in this past year, the pandemic year, than in years past. And basically, we're talking about 1 in 4 adults reported reading the Bible more frequently during the pandemic compared to the previous year. And I think it's interesting. I've never even heard of the state of the Bible. You know, there's the State of the Union address that a president of the United States gives, but there's the State of the Bible, and this is from the American Bible Society. And there was this study that was done, and I think it's always helpful to understand not only some of the figures, but also how they came about in this study. You know, where did it come from? But it did indicate that 181 million Americans opened the Bible in the past year, compared to 169 million adults who used the Bible at least occasionally in the year before. So that figure is an increase of those that open the Bible. Now, that doesn't, I'm not talking about literally just, but meaning would read something. The findings for this report were based on a survey conducted in January 2021. Basically, it was 3,354 online interviews from a representative sample of just American adults nationwide. So it was random. And I thought it was fascinating in this report. 91 additional responses were from the Gen Z demographic, meaning youth. And I appreciated that they said the sampling error is plus or minus 1.692% percentage points. So, I mean, it's very... meaning this is very, very credible. And the study found that 16% of American adults read the Bible most days during the week. And that's up from 12%. So it went from 12% previously to 16% reading the Bible most of the days of the week during the pandemic year. 34% did they read the Bible once a week or more. 50% said they read the Bible less than twice a year. So you're seeing comparatives. And I know sometimes it's a little confusing when you don't get to see the numbers. But the report also states that 63% of the respondents reported that their Bible use was the very same as the previous year. That's 63%, just no difference. 9% their Bible engagement was decreased. 24% reported it was increased. So instead of 9% less, it was 24% more of an increase in reading the Bible during the year. So, and by the way, this information can be obtained at a website called stateofthebible.org, just stateofthebible.org, for those who want to see the information, the data for yourself. What were people looking for? Well, there were two key words, meaning and comfort. And in this interview with John Plake, who's the director of ministry intelligence for the American Bible Society, he said, I think the data tells us that when people are at a change point in their lives, they're enduring stresses like we all have during the COVID-19 pandemic. We look for meaning, we look for comfort. And I think many Americans who in normal times would say, I've got this, I can handle this myself, basically independent, self-sufficient, they realize, no, they don't have it. And they really want to turn and do turn to God's Word, and they have found that when they do, they find comfort. By the way, I remember at early time in my life when I didn't know how to think, it was trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. Let me throw this to you, June, and you had mentioned part of a favorite passage of Scripture that, as I told you during the break, that my grandfather wrote out for me as really life verses, and so I'd like you to finish those that passage, those couple of verses.
Yeah. Well, it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and for those who think, well, gee, you know, I wish I could focus on something. Just write out that passage if you're not familiar with it. It's Proverbs. Proverbs is the book on wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3 and then verses 5 and 6. And this for a while, for a long time, early on, was my favorite scripture, and it was because of one part of that phrase, a part of the scripture. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That was the most meaningful part for me. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That's the so what. The other is, what do you do? You trust. Trust means, what has God revealed to you? Or what do you know about God? He created you. He has a plan and purpose for you. And the plan, he says, is not to harm you. It is for your good. That's Jeremiah 29:11. But the reason it's this important, the whole scripture, I had such horrible pain in terms of a bizarre family. And, you know, just my dad having three families at the same time, and his women, and just his treatment and everything. And now all of a sudden I'm, for the first time, exposed to authentic Christianity. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. I didn't have to understand it all. I didn't have to have all the solutions. I didn't, and I'm math oriented. I'm very logical, and so that was helpful. Because I couldn't understand what to do or how to live. So then it gave the solution. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Turn to him. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So once I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I didn't have to know how he was going to work and what he would do. By the way, had I not had that background, I couldn't do this program. Because I wouldn't have the compassion, and I have huge compassion for people who are hurting, or those who don't know what to do, those who have seen much of the underside of life. And so Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that was tremendously comforting to me. So again, Proverbs 3, meaning chapter 3, and then verses 5 and 6, write it out. If you don't know that scripture, write it out and just read it once every day. Perhaps when you wake up in the morning, it could be great to go to sleep with it, meaning before you go to sleep. Just say, thank you, God, that you're trustworthy. I will trust you with all my heart. Jeff?
Well, very good. If you would like to explore the Bible a little more deeply, we have resources that will help you do that. And if you'd like to know about the accuracy and the reliability of the Bible, we have a Keys for Living called The Bible, Is It Reliable? Truth on Trial, and really see what the foundation of the Bible being put together and how you can relate to it and rely on it in your life. If you'd like to see how it relates actually very specifically to situations in your life or the life of someone else, we have the Counseling Through Your Bible Handbook, and you can find all of that by calling our customer support team. They can be reached at 800-488-HOPE, and available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They can help guide you to these resources. And again, that's 800-488-4673. Well, we want to get to our caller for tonight, and we have listening in Pennsylvania tonight, we have Jessica.
Well, hello, Jessica. Welcome to Hope.
Hello.
How can we help you?
Well, I've been back up in this part of the country for, 2.5 years now, and the people are just so rigid. I don't know how to explain it, but nothing is ever good enough. For example, a couple weeks ago, I mentioned to a person about a medical procedure I had done for a test. And then, anyways, I told him I wanted to go on the whole food plant-based diet, and he criticized that. And when I had that procedure done, the doctor found something else, too. Well, how did the doctor know that was there? It's like, he's a doctor. And he just kept giving me the third degree and kept giving me the third degree about my medical business now, mind you. And then when it came to the whole food plant-based diet, he was criticizing that up and down. And that's it. It was his business once again. And then here was the proverbial straw. And that was, I just got the results back tonight from the food sensitivity test I had taken. And this is when I was getting ready to, I think I sent it back at that point. And he wanted to know who made the food sensitivity test. And then he, you know, said nothing but negative about that, even though I told him about another person who had it done. It was referred by their regular doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And they got their results back, and they started following based on the results, and they were feeling much better. He had still had nothing but criticism to say about that. And I finally blurted out, why is it that nothing I ever say or do, even for my own personal health, is ever, ever, ever good enough for you people up here? The Bible says we are to encourage one another, do not tear one another down. This constant critical negativity back here is literally killing me inside. Not yes, I am literally dying inside. He finally, this is part of a letter. He responded back with, part of which said about, for most of my life, I felt much the same way, but in recent years, I've been challenged and pushed by some whom I know love and care about me, sometimes frustratingly so, and I've learned that growth is like stagnation is death. So, okay. He's not understanding the issue with boundaries. You don't just, you know, go into a person's private business and start, you know, ordering them around, okay? And I'm stagnating because I'm not letting him dictate to me what I do with my life.
Mm-hmm. By the way, who is the him in your life?
No, he's not in my life in that way, but it's just another person that goes to another church, and he's very legalistic.
Mm-hmm. And how do you happen to know him?
He lives up in this area. I knew him and these other people since my college days up here.
Okay, so this is someone you knew a long time ago, and obviously you have some kind of contact with him. How do you happen to have contact with him?
A mutual friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
And this mutual friend couple, I've known them, you know, far before him, but, you know, he's like, is always at their place all the time. So if they have like a picnic or a dinner, and they're always going to invite him, and if they invite me, there he is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those deals. So I have to, you know, finally just having the last straw that broke the camel's back situation, I emailed these people saying, look, if this person's going to be there for your picnics and everything, I'm not going to be there. That doesn't mean that you can't come to my place and we exchange Christmas presents and whatnot, but I'm not going to be around a person that's so negative and critical toward me. Because I'm dying inside. People are just so closed-minded up here, it's not even funny.
You know, wherever you go, I'm just going to be very, very blunt here. I don't know that there's a place that you could go in the world where there would not be somebody who has a critical spirit. And I say that truthfully. Now, I could be wrong, but I'm not talking about in every home. I'm talking about, you know, you go to whatever town, there are going to be people who are going to be discouragers, and there will also be people who are encouragers.
I'd love to know who they are.
Well,
I had it down near where I used to live for 32 years, but not up here.
I think they do exist, and I think this is where we have to learn to be wise. And that means, and I'm thinking about the scriptures, like in Proverbs, which tells us, "Do not answer a fool." Don't get engaged with conversation with somebody who is a fool. A fool is obviously someone who is not wise. It's the opposite of a wise person. Someone, and we don't necessarily use the word fool a lot, but the Bible has a lot to say about those who severely lack wisdom. But we're cautioned not to get in fact, not to answer people who would be who'd be saying things that are foolish. For example, I'm going to be very candid about the food sensitivity tests. That's great. Great to do that. I mean, I have talked with people who they would find out, I didn't know why I continued to have just feel bad, and you know, like yeah. there's something wrong, and then they'd find out, I'm allergic to wheat. I'm allergic right. to, and then and they could, and I remember my brother years and years ago. Don't know that it's the case now, but I remember if he ate tomatoes, he would just break out, and I didn't break out. He broke out in a rash or whatever, and so. And sometimes people outgrow those food sensitivities, meaning being like allergic to certain foods. But it's so helpful to know what is going to literally not agree with your body chemistry. We all have different body chemistry. So, my friend, I agree with you that it can be wise, as long as it's a reputable test, or testers who are doing the tests, you know, right. then they're going to, and typically they can do needles, or there are certain things that enable you to test a number of, because I've had a certain kind of test on my back, and I remember as a kid, I broke out like a Christmas tree with all kinds of allergies. Now, I don't have a lot of those today. I'm not sure what I have, but my point is I had to, for a period of time, take injections to start building up an immunity. So you and I are on the same page. We know that that can be valuable. But, you know, people who are not wise, they can easily have a critical spirit. And so let's talk about, when we come back, what do you do when there is someone like that, because you can't totally avoid all foolish.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at LifelineToHope.org. That's LifelineToHope.org. Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart. And make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
You are listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of hope for the heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. And we exist because of your ongoing prayers and continued support of this ministry. And we thank you for that. Our customer support team can be reached at 800-488-HOPE. They can be reached at Monday through Fridays, 8 to 5 on Central Time, and they can help get the right resources into your hands. Let me mention the Keys for Living called Critical Spirit, Confronting the Heart of a Critic. And they can help you get that or any other resource that would help you. The number again, 800-488-4673. Now, if you would like to speak with June about a specific situation going on in your life, and you'd like to do that on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, just call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. Call and leave a good message for us so we can get back and talk to you about being on the program here on Hope in the Night. One more piece of information I need to give you is that we have a symposium coming up. It is going to be an online event. It is called Grief and Loss, certainly something that is top of mind in many people's minds these days. And so June Hunt and our own Dr. Eric Scalise will talk about how to cope with loss during this two-hour live-streamed symposium. So that probably answers the question, where is this going to be held? Well, wherever you are. It's online, so register for that at hopefortheheart.org/events. It'll be held Wednesday, May 26th from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time. And again, live streaming and a timely discussion of grief and loss. So just go to hopefortheheart.org/events. Find out more about that. And we hope that you will take advantage of that, timely discussion of what's going on in our world and how you can better deal with grief and loss. That's hopefortheheart.org/events. Let's get back to our caller tonight, back to Jessica.
Well, my friend, what I've heard is there is someone that you have interacted with periodically. Not that it's been...
Example.
Okay.
It's all over up here, the critical spirit. It's just, with him, it just happened, boom, boom, boom. It's like, I don't get a break. And for him to tell me that, you know, you say about boundaries and the critical spirit, and I approach people about this and said, look, it's very critical, it's judgmental. My boundary begins right here. If you can't say anything nice, I don't want to hear it at all. Well, from that, he basically says, implies that I'm stagnant and I don't want to grow. Growth and stagnation are in the eyes of the beholder. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's more judgmentalism. Yeah, we keep trying to change other people. You can't change people. God changes people. And just because they're not like you, it doesn't mean they're inferior.
I agree. And that's why I'm just going to camp out just for a moment. Listen to what Proverbs, which of course is the book on wisdom, Proverbs 26, beginning in verse 4. Okay. Listen to what it says. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. In other words, you've got somebody looking, if you're engaging with someone who is not wise, who is being foolish, then you're putting, it's almost like you're putting yourself down on that person's level. Uh-huh. And anybody who's watching, then you get, if you're getting into it, and meaning negatively, and therefore it doesn't do any good. Because a fool, based on the Bible, is not one who is eager to learn, to change, etc. In fact, they're wise in their own eyes. In fact, Proverbs 26:12 says, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Uh-huh. Meaning that there are those who are, I call them arrogant. It's like, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? In other words, it's like, I'm the one who everyone should listen to. I'm the one who has all the answers. But I think this is a key thing for me and for you, because I have at times tried to give answers when somebody's being critical in a certain way, when it's excessive. Again, it says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. In other words, it's not going to work. And it says, answer a fool according to his folly. He will be wise in his own eyes. What we know is we have a choice about what we say. You and I have a choice when people are beginning to be critical. What do we do? I find it doesn't work if somebody's foolish. I don't mind being challenged. In fact, I just said this to my sister. I said, if ever you hear me where you think I'm not being wise about something, I really want you to tell me if I'm missing something or if I'm saying something that isn't right as you hear me say it. Now, this is not even someone who's a strong believer or even a believer, but she's so much closer than what she has been over the years. So but we were talking about a person who was being deceptive. And so I said, if ever you hear me say anything like that, please let me know. Ask me or whatever. And she asked me to do the same. So my point is, here, when we see someone who is, and we know, like anybody who's going to be critical toward you because you get a food sensitivity test, there's something wrong there. In fact, I want to emphasize that people who are like this, there's something wrong on the inside. Don't you agree with that?
I do.
Okay. Because the healthy people, those who are healthy mentally, and I'm not talking about physically healthy, I'm talking about the person who's mentally healthy, who's emotionally healthy, they don't just criticize. There's really something wrong with people who have a critical spirit. But what we're told is, if I were you with this man, let's assume, I know you've tried to put a boundary there, but let's say you are somehow in his presence and he starts in on it. It's not shunning him like trying to punish a person. It is, you can just listen, but you don't have to respond with, sometimes you can say, well, that's interesting. Just, there are safe ways to answer. Interesting is the most interesting
way of conversing with this person.
Yeah, that's well put. Excellent. I'm glad you said it that way. It's a safe way to converse with the person who's not wise. You can say, interesting, but don't get into it. It's not going to work. And that's what the Bible is saying. So, there might be times when it's right for you to be with the two friends that you were mentioning. Sounds like it was a couple. And they may want you there, and you could be helpful. Okay, if he's there, he's there. But just don't engage in if he starts criticizing, just say, interesting perspective. And just have those few safe words that I find the word interesting is very interesting because it can mean anything. It's not like you're committing yourself to anything. I consider it sad when a person has a critical spirit, and there is an appropriate time to be a critic. And let me just clarify what I'm saying. There are literary critics. There are movie critics, there are book critics, and there's nothing wrong with a person being a critic who has earned the right, to make judgments. What I mean is, criticism actually has two different meanings. The kind you're talking about means speaking unfairly with trivial or harsh judgments.
Uh-huh.
A person with a critical spirit gives unfair criticism by fault-finding, nitpicking, quibbling.
Nitpicking.
Yeah. And, by the way, realize that fault-finders seldom find anything else because they're not looking for anything but fault.
No, you're right.
So, now, a criticism, if we think of criticism, it also means speaking fairly with discernment regarding to a merit, the merit of let's say it's a performance or a speech. Somebody, or what I'm saying is, a literary critic is expected to give a fair critique by accurately analyzing, judging, reporting. And that's why we need to be very careful with our words and make sure that we don't have a critical spirit. The Bible says the tongue has the power of life and death. And you've already, you've talked about how it is impacting you, the pain that it's causing you, that this man is having on you. Well, I want to say this, my friend. Don't allow another person, especially a person who has a critical spirit, to have that much influence over you. Because God does not intend for someone who is unwise, who is a fool, someone who has a critical spirit, to be your controller. He is to be your controller.
That's it.
I'm talking about the Lord himself. And
uh-huh.
he's not going to view you unjustly. See, criticizers judge others severely and unfavorably, and they are hypercritical people, judging others with unreasonable standards, unreasonably strict standards. Well, that's not going to help anyone. You know, if we had a world of people like that, that is destructive. So instead, you be different. Don't allow him to influence you. And pray for, I call it a hedge of protection. In the book of Job, in the first chapter, you find that Satan was accusing, he's an accuser. And in that respect, the enemy of God can be used to literally criticize or put a critical spirit in someone. But my point is, don't you allow that person to have that much control over you.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver, and you are listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of hope for the heart, and we want to thank you for your prayers and support. If you have questions about this or any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living that will help you address what's going on in your life, or maybe the life of someone you care about, and you can point them to a resource that you have in your hands. How do you get that? Call customer support at 800-488-HOPE. They are available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central, and they can help you access those resources. The number again, 800-488-4673. Mentioning also the keys for a living called Critical Spirit, Confronting the Heart of a Critic, and also Forgiveness, Releasing You is Freeing Me. Those are available as you get in touch with us. Also, check out our website, hopefortheheart.org/store. There you can find the new updated Keys for Living, Lifeline to Hope online training, as well as June's many biblical resources. You'll find it all at hopefortheheart.org/store. Let me tell you, one more place that you need to go is at our Facebook page. And scroll down there. You can find there, it says, there is a place to win a PDF book and video course on boundaries, as we've talked about that even tonight. And you can do that. Just enter your information there. Let us know that you're looking there on our Facebook page, and the drawing will be on June 1st. So this month only, enter at the Facebook page, win a PDF book and video course on boundaries. That is Hope for the Heart on Facebook. Let's get back to our caller tonight, and again, Jessica.
Jessica, I want you to know that I hurt for you because you have really been wounded. And I know that you don't want to be wounded. No one wants to feel wounded. But we've all been wounded by people. And usually it's people that we've been around. And I can just say that I don't think you can live life just like with Jesus. You look at his life. Oh, my goodness, the people who were critical of him. Is that not true?
Oh, yeah.
So, and was it justified, all the criticism that Jesus received?
Nope.
That's right. It was not justified. And many times he did not respond. He just went on and continued on the mission he had to literally, ultimately die for the sins of us all, die on the cross. But he said, "You do not take my life from me. I give my life as a ransom for many." In other words, he knew why he left heaven. Jesus, God the Son, left heaven. And he had a mission, and he knew that we human beings would sin, and that means we chose to go not with God's plan, but our own plan. We went against God's plan, and we've all done it. But he did not have a critical spirit, even though people were critical toward him, but he maintained the mission that he had. Now, he did confront on occasion, but that's because he wanted the people to know that they had, I'm going to say it this way, they had the cart before the horse. They had a religion, the religious leaders but they didn't have the relationship with the Lord, which literally was huge, that he was saying your priorities are wrong. Now, my point for us, as we live our lives, you know, I certainly have had my share of critics, and I've had to decide, what do I do? I first try to figure out, is there a way that I can agree with something, or do I need to see something? Sometimes it's all within that person who is just going to be critical. And I have found those with a critical spirit, I don't think that there is wisdom in their minds, in their speech, and I don't find it healthy to engage in responding back in kind. And so therefore, but the Bible says, those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. So, in other words, what we've got to do is entrust our lives to the Lord. And that means, you know, the Bible even says there's a time to speak and a time to be silent. And so I think there are times when, many times, I will be very candid with you, with certain family members. At one time, you know, I had a sister who was just angry with me. I didn't know why. I couldn't figure it out. And I just didn't find it beneficial. I mean, I would engage. Now, right now, she just thinks I'm better than sliced bread. I'm amazed at her, at the change. But as we were able to, as I began to learn why she had this anger, it really had to do with her misunderstanding Scripture. And she thought, and I'll be very specific, she said, I can't become a Christian. I don't believe what the Bible says. I said, what do you not believe? Well, wives submit to your husbands. And then she said, mother submitted. Look what dad did to her. And mother submitted. So it's like, so she thought that the wives submit to your husbands meant that a wife had to submit to everything. And I said, well, but the verse right before that is submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. She didn't know that. I said, so we have to look at context. Context is king. So my point is, after I went through to explain, no, a wife, if she's told to rob a bank with a husband, no. If she's told, you know, all kinds of things. And it gave her a whole different perspective. But for the longest time, I couldn't figure out why she had this anger. And I wish I had known way before her misperception of what the Bible even says. Once she heard it, it's like, oh. And she understood what the Bible really does say. You know, about husbands, three verses later, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So I said, he has to be willing to die for her. A husband has to be willing to die. And she said, the Bible really says that? And I said, yes, you know, Ephesians 5:25. And so she went, so then she saw that she only took, well, she knew one scripture, took it out of its context, did not look at the surrounding verses, and did not look at the whole of the Bible. Does that make sense as I say that?
Yes.
Okay. So, now, I'll say that this sister of mine has really changed a lot, and we had a discussion tonight about how we need to listen to, we could disagree, but we need to listen to learn. We have agreed we're going to listen. She even said it's not to try to get the other person to believe exactly as we believe. It's let's share. When we share, we'll share to comprehend, to understand where the other person is coming from. In other words, but that whole relationship has changed. And all I'm saying to you is, there are some people, though, that I know, even if they get into it, I will not get into it with them. Mm-hmm. Because I know it won't work. And so this is where I don't want you to be cutting yourself off from two people that you might really enjoy, the couple that you mentioned. And I understand you said, well, if he's going to be there, this other man, yeah, well, it may be that you change the way you interact, meaning you don't get into anything. If, you know, you just be wise in what you say. But know that God intends for you to have his peace that passes all understanding. And I have a thought. It sounds like there have been a number of people who've been critical toward you. Is that correct?
God, that's the understatement of the year.
Okay.
Nothing is ever good enough.
Well, I'm going to mention something that for you just to think about and pray about.
Okay.
Like, I remember when my dad said, you're the cause for all the problems. Well, I can't get that out of my mind. And, you know, there are things he said, but there was a point at which, and I knew it wasn't true, but nevertheless, that's where he was. I remember literally beginning to pray for him because the Bible says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. So if there are people who have hurt you and persecuted you, pray that they will have a changed life through Christ. And as soon as they come to mind, pray, Lord, I pray that so-and-so will have a changed life through you, Lord Jesus. Because, again, that's being biblical. Pray for those who persecute you. And then a possibility would be, you could, if there have been a number of people, then you've said, the understatement, to literally write down the names, or you can just say a man, or where, whatever it is, man, woman, and write down what they, put their names down that they were just critical. And then what you do is say, okay, Lord, you tell me that I'm to forgive. Okay, forgive means you release, it means the word release. Okay. You take that person off of your emotional hook, because like if you take all the people who've been critical of you and me, and like let's say each critical person, here's a boulder of bitterness that weighs 10 pounds. By the time you put all those boulders together, 150 pounds, whatever it is, God did not, he did not create you to carry 150 pounds of boulders of bitterness around. So instead, the word release is forgive. You release that person who has that critical spirit to him, and you literally take all that pain that people have inflicted on you, and you release all the pain to him first, and then each person. So you made this list and say, Lord, I release this person to you. I release this person. Each of them, may they have a changed life through Christ. That way you're not being weighed down with all of the cares and pains and critical words said toward you. Instead, you're doing what's biblical. Pray for those who persecute you. But the Bible says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So
right.
I'll send you a material on critical spirit and on forgiveness, because you can be literally forgiving and be set free.
We will send those resources to tonight's caller free of charge. We do that because of your generous support of this ministry. Again, Keys for Living called Critical Spirit, Confronting the Heart of a Critic. Also, Forgiveness, Releasing You is Freeing Me. You may order those resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE, anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. Our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. That's hopefortheheart.org. Also, check out our broadcast app. It is called Hope for the Heart. It's a free download wherever you find your apps. Again, Hope for the Heart. That app is available to you. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.